The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2013 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2013. If you have purchased this audio CD, you are free to make multiple copies of it for your own or your school's use. You may not sell copies of this audio or post it on the internet. To find out more about ACCS, or to order additional conference talks, visit our website at accsedu.org. Look for the Conferences tab. Thank you for your support of ACCS.
Well, I'm not great at standing behind a podium because I teach kindergarten. I am always up, I'm down, I'm at my desk, and I'm on the floor. So this is more comfortable for me. Can everyone hear me? Okay, good. I have a teacher voice. So I thought I would rather do it this way, if that's okay. Well, my name is Kim Thomas. I'm from Georgetown, Texas, which is right in the Austin area. Anybody else here from Texas? Oh, good. A couple. Where are y'all from?
I was born in Dallas, but raised in Austin.
Austin, okay.
We're up in the
Dallas area. Good. Okay, well, and like I said, I teach kindergarten, but I love teaching art. That's my favorite thing to teach in a kindergarten classroom, but I do teach all of the subjects. Okay, so how many kindergarten teachers do I have here? Okay, most of us. Yay! Yay, ladies! It's so funny when I tell people I teach kindergarten, they go, oh, bless you. And I was like, why are you telling me that? I love what I do. It's so funny. How many of you teach art? Okay. So what grade?
First through 10.
Oh, wow. We have a lot. What else do I have? First grade?
Yes, yes. K through 2.
K through 2. Yeah, I've done K through 2 also.
K through 2.
K through 6. So some of you that are here are looking for K ideas.
What about K through 11?
Wow, that's a lot of tests. So for art, that can be hard because you've got to do something for every grade level. But today we're going to focus on kindergarten. So I hope this is helpful for those of you that do have the kindergarten grade level. And what I want to do is what I want to start through. I put together a video and kind of a PowerPoint also. I have not traveled in a while, and little did I know that it costs $25 for every bag you check on a plane. But I wanted to show you what I use, so I put it all in my video and my PowerPoint. So that way, art is visual. I'm very visual. I wanted you to see the books. I wanted to show you a lot of art, which I think I did, and hopefully it'll give you some ideas. And but what I want to start with before we talk about masters, how many of you have taught art imitating masters? Van Gogh, Picasso. Good. To kindergartners?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, good. It's fun, and the kids love it, and I want to get some feedback from you in just a minute. But before we start there, I wanted to show you some of our unit studies and what we've done in art with our unit studies, and kind of some of the technique that we've used. Every year we put together a unit on bugs. Kindergartners love to draw bugs. They love to find them, they love to observe them. And so what we do then after we've done a whole entire unit study is we go in the classroom and we draw them. The technique that I love when doing my insects is I use colored pencils for medium. I don't use colored pencils a lot in art, because when we do art, kids love mixed medium, but there's so much detail in our insects that tends to be the best thing to apply color for this particular art piece. So I do 4 different ones. Now, I would say pretty much every art picture you're gonna see is not one art lesson for me. I would probably say you start, and a lot of times when you're looking at your class, and they're going like this, or they're throwing their pencils on the floor, that's time to stop and move on or talk about something else and not keep them, make them draw, because they're totally losing focus and interest. So everything that I'm going to show you is definitely more than one art, less than one art time that we have. So our insects are one. Okay, let's go on to something else. I have a little bit of music. I just love it. I play this song. Found found this particular design on a Christmas ornament. I thought it looked simple. I thought it looked fun. It had different colors. And this isn't a great picture, but what I used here was soft pastels. How many of you love soft pastels for kindergarten? Yes, they're forgiving, aren't they? And when you have a student color something, they go, Mrs. Thomas, I hated this. This looks terrible. A wet Kleenex, then you kind of wipe it off, add some color, you can blend. So I love my soft pastels. So the process for something as simple as this, and it looks really simple, but again, it took several lessons to achieve these. I always go light to dark. I do my darkest pastels last, especially the hat and the eyes were black. Black pastels, oil or chalk, for kindergartners sometimes are a challenge. So even my green and my orange and you know, trying to get them not to smear sometimes is a challenge. But, wow, we still had a fun finished picture at the end. So there's some of those. Dinosaurs! One of the first things we do in our classroom, we talk about paleontology. We do a little bit of science. And then we go into the classroom and we do some drawing in our dinosaurs. Very simple shape. On this one, we did a mixed media also. Poster paint, temper paint in the middle. And we did, you can kind of see in the background, there's some oil pastels. And another technique, and it really is, for teaching young children, is how to outline. So that's something also that we learned. This is first semester. This was one of the first projects that we did in the kindergarten year. It was September. Yeah. So we talk about outlining. I show them a lot of samples of outlining. And I never hesitate just to go ahead and start with mixed media. Go ahead, get your paints out, get your pastels out, introduce them to everything, and then let them go ahead and create something. So we have a lot of fun with these. Again, simple, really outline shape.
You do that with pencil first.
Yes. Always start with, and I'll show that in the video. You start with a pencil. Number two, keep it simple. They're 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds. Yes, this was actually a large piece of construction paper. And I don't use that very often, though. But I do use this at the beginning to encourage a nice big drawing. Because when you're adding your color and your medium, you always have in every class, it never fails, the itty-bitty, tiny, teeny drawers that draw everything, the size, and yes, helping them to get over that and draw much bigger sometimes can be a challenge. But it's fun. That's just how they see it. And they're still young and developing. You still have a lot of fine motor skill things going on. So this is a good first semester project. Okay, pumpkins. In the fall, another first semester project. I took this actual design out of a coloring book. I didn't want them to color it. I wanted them to draw it and color it. So they drew it with me, first with a pencil. We outlined, and then here's where the chalk pastels. We did, look at all the different shading. We did some yellows. I actually did this as a still life. I had a real pumpkin in my classroom. They each have small pumpkins on their desks. But it's a really easy shape. Basic outline, easy colors. This was also chalk pastel in the background. But we came out with some pretty good results. And I had a class of 13 this year, and as you can see, we have bigger, we have some smaller ones, we have some sideways ones, we have really fat, and there's some small, but the results, especially when they're displayed together, is really nice. And parents enjoy seeing it, but the kids love it, because I put it all up together, and they love looking at their pictures. Mm-hmm. So those were fun. Thank you. study on wildflowers. We classify them. We look at the different shapes, the patterns, the colors. We head into art class and we draw them. I pick out ones, of course, that I know that I can draw and that they can draw, but really a simple project, and it's really a nice project when it's done. I pick out five. I take our, we also use a large construction paper. I folded it into sections because I don't like a lot of extra lines. And so I folded it into different sections, and we drew different wildflowers. And after that, we wrote the names on top so they know exactly what they drew and what the colors were. And after you've done a unit study and then you've incorporated an art project, a drawing, not just coloring, that they drew it and they added the color, they will remember. Mm-hmm. They're out on the playground and they can tell me what flowers are what, and it's a challenge to go find. Well, where is the fire wheel and where is the poppy and the bluebonnets? I do this with watercolors. That's the finished medium on this one. Not the liquid watercolors, just regular plain old watercolors, and they love it. This one's also a fun one. Before I sent it all home for the year. So just a couple more samples. Yeah, that one too. That's a really, really good job on watercolors there. Staying in the lines. Oh, self-portraits. You'll see at the end of the PowerPoint, I never finish a year without a self-portrait. Young children love to draw a picture of themselves. As you can see, it's simple. I think there's another one that has a little better picture. And on this one, you can also see the picture they want there. How the background is, you can go ahead and draw. I'm going to show you some more self-portraits in just a minute. But those are also a really fun project I want to encourage you all to try. Big art show too at the school at the end of the year, and I don't display my favorites, I display them all. And so they look really nice displayed together. And I just put them all in a grouping, and the kids really, one of their favorite things to show their parents. Okay, let's stop on that one real quick. One of the books on your resource guide is Mona Brooks. It's Drawing with Children. It's one of the first books that I ever picked up when I learned to teach art to younger children. This actually came out of her book. This was one of the first things I ever tried drawing with five and six-year-olds, and had great results. It's just two flowers, and then we did the outlining with the black. We actually added the detail with the black, and you can see some of the pastel is faded on this, but after this is drawn and blended with pastels, it really is a nice project, and simple for mm-hmm. young children. And that's it. No, that's okay. Go, let's keep going. I want to show y'all some of the artists, some of the masters that we've done too. So that's. There's. Good. Yeah, go ahead and keep going. That's okay. A better one of self-portrait. Very simple. Our goal here is eyes, a nose, and a mouth. And in the middle.
The kindergarten art apprentices to the masters. In this workshop, you're going to learn to teach your students how to draw.
Okay. Go
like
ahead.
The masters.
Wait, hold on. Pause really quick.
It's easy,
this is what we're going to do next is go through the outline on this PowerPoint, but I do have to tell you on number one, under learning to draw like the masters, which you're going to see in here, I switched choosing an artist and picture study. You always want to start with your picture study first. So we'll walk through that in the video. You're going to do your picture study. Wait, hold on.
Yeah, no. Amen.
How? What does yours say? Choose an artist, then picture study?
No.
Okay, switch those. You want to choose your artist first, and then do your picture study. I'm sorry. Okay, let's go ahead and run through this. This is about 15 minutes, and then I'm going to walk through the entire outline with you on here so you can see artwork, you can see the books. I wanted to show you everything. I couldn't bring my brushes and my pastels. And so I put it on here for y'all, so afterwards then we'll talk about what we went over. Okay.
Fun, and if you just follow a few basic steps, you're going to see wonderful results.
When choosing an artist's design or a picture to draw with your students, I use my art books as inspiration. This particular series is my favorite collection of artist books and drawing for children. They are written by Ernest Raboff, and as you can see, I have quite a collection of some of the most famous artists, and we've actually drawn from every one of these books. What I like about these books is, let's look at the Van Gogh. There's some background on the artist, and it gives you some information for when you do your picture study. There's a picture of the artist, and it gives you such a good collection of all the different paintings that they have drawn, or painted, or sculpted. In some cases, some of them have some sculptures in them. So this is a really good collection of books that you want to have for your classroom when you start drawing your artist pictures. Next, my favorite drawing book with children for children is Drawing with Children by Mona Brooks. This is the first book that I read that teaches you how to show your children how to draw. It doesn't have a lot of colored pictures, but there's some great projects in here, and this is definitely the one that you want to have to start with before you start drawing in your classroom. Ralph Masiello also puts out a collection of books that are just for drawing. As you can see in each one of these books, there's a finished picture of the design that you're going to draw with your student, and there's step-by-step drawing instructions. These books are a lot of fun for drawing with your unit sections. Some more of the wonderful artist books that I have are 13 Artists Every Children Should Know and Monet and the Impressionists. Both of these books have a lot of colored pictures. There's a lot of information about each artist, and there's also timelines and information so that you can use that in your picture study. This book, look at the pictures on that. There's wonderful color and design, and it also gives you some examples for technique. So these are going to be valuable for your picture studies. Discovering Great Artists and Kids Artworks are both books that will give you a lot of ideas. There's not a lot of colored pictures in these books, but it gives you a full list of materials and a process guide. So it tells you what step to do, and it gives you background on the artist and the date, and they're valuable for actually creating art and giving you background information on your artists. Dynamic Art Projects for Children is a fun book for technique. There's a lot of texture and technique in this book. Some of the projects might be a little bit older for the kindergarten student, but still a lot of colored projects that you're going to love to have to give you some ideas. 52 Art Lab Projects for Students. This book is really neat because each lab is a complete art lesson. It also gives you all the materials that you need, the steps in which order that you're going to create your project, a picture of the finished project, and lots of ideas. And last but not least, Hooked on Art, 265 ready-to-use activities with all the different media, 7 different media. Look at this content. There's lots of different designs, and there's lots of different projects for you to use and medium that you can also use. So these are a few of the books that I have in my collection that give me inspiration and help me to pick out the drawing that we're going to do in class. Now that you have your artist picked out and you have the picture that you want to draw with your students, it's time to go through a picture study. In your resource guide, you have a copy of this, and let's go through it quickly. First, you are going to introduce the artist. You're going to give the name of the artist and a little bit of information. Where did they live? What part of the country did they grow up in? And you're going to show the actual picture to your students. Second, we're going to talk about the time in history that the picture was completed. Most of these paintings and artwork will have a completion date. Then you're going to talk about what kind of paintings that the artist did most often. If you look at a Picasso,
your students might say that his pictures are funny or silly, and you can tell them that the paintings are abstract. But just kind of look at the style, and that way the student has an idea of the different of what they're going to be painting. Next, introduce the picture. Tell them what the title of the painting is. You can show them the size that the original painting was painted in and where the original is located. Is it located in an art gallery or privately owned? Some of these pictures are still privately owned, and that might be interesting to your students. Next, this is the fun part. Observe the picture together. Don't point out everything to your student, but point out the important things like colors, shapes, the contrast, are there dark, light, or medium colors? And then point out some obvious details. Look at the focal point in the painting. Is there an animal in the background or a building or a design on the hat? These are things that you can point out to your students before they begin painting their picture. Next, observe the picture silently. During this time, there's no talking. Give them about 1 or 2 minutes to observe the picture carefully. Then pass out a copy of the picture. I usually have a few colored photocopies of the picture for the student to hold. Then turn the picture over and don't look at it. Have them close their eyes and ask them, can you see the picture in your head? Then open your eyes and ask someone to tell you about the picture. Then ask others to name some things that they have observed. This is a lot of fun because each child will see something different. Then make your final comments. This will give you a chance to go through and review everything you've learned in your picture study. Also, take a few minutes to point out the important aspects of the picture that they will be drawing and exactly what they need to be looking for. This is a fun activity, and I think your students will enjoy it. Art supplies for a kindergarten classroom should be simple and fun. What we start with is a t-shirt, and that way you won't get paint on your uniform or your clothes. I also use a number 2 pencil, and kids love a pink pearl eraser. We have rulers at our desk when we're going to do our art projects. And I buy a nice selection of paintbrushes. You can see there's a different tip on each one of those. That way they can paint their larger projects with the thicker brush, and we even have an outline brush. If you don't have a big budget for art paper, I just use the Crayola marker and watercolor pad. I simply just tear out the pages that I need, and the students draw on these. They have some texture to them, and they work great with watercolor or marker. We also have some fun supplies that we occasionally paint with. I have some sponges, some clothespins, and any other things that you think would be creative and fun.
I think it's just skipping.
Fun supplies to use in your classroom. When picking the medium that you want to use in your art class, keep that simple also, and it doesn't have to be expensive. I use the Crayola color sticks. I have a huge class pack. There's a variety of colors, and what's nice about these is you don't have to always have them sharpened. The entire stick is the color, so the kids love working with these. My favorite paint for tempera is the tempera cakes. They come in a variety of colors, and it doesn't take very long for the kids to reconstitute them. They have bright colors, and the kids love using these. They're easy to clean up, they stack nicely, and they last a long time. I also use liquid watercolors. Liquid watercolors are easy to mix, and you can create almost any color with them. I buy the little plastic cups from Michael's or Hobby Lobby, mix the colors, and you can create a variety of colors with the liquid. We do also have the watercolor cakes, the hard ones, and the kids enjoy these. They have them at their desk. And for art class, each student has a special box of the thick tip, the thin tip, and the Crayola markers. We have a special set aside just for art time. And by far, one of my favorite mediums to use, which I'm going to show you that we've used several times, are the soft chalk pastels. These are easy to blend. The kids love using them, and it makes a great painting. Last but not least, oil pastels. I bought this big old class of Crayola oil pastels about 5 years ago. The kids are still using them. Oil pastels are going to be harder to blend than your soft pastels, but it's nice to have something other than crayons for the kids to color with. I think you'll enjoy these also. Let's talk about drawing our lines and our shape. One thing that I found is important in the classroom is speaking the language of the learner. So before you tell your students what you want them to draw, let's come up with a name for each one of our lines. Let me show you some of the ones that we use in my class. This is a jagged line. Do you see how the points are uneven? Some are shorter, some are longer, and some are fatter and skinnier. We have a curved line. This is a broken line. A spiral. A straight line. A wavy line. Zigzag. Horizontal. Vertical. A diagonal line, thick, color that in so that shows them that that's a thick line, and a thin line, and put a dotted line in there. Next, you want to make sure that your student has a basic understanding of their geometric shapes. So, your square, rectangle, circle, triangle, a heart, and an oval will be helpful when you're teaching your students how to draw. Putting all those lines and shapes together to create your masterpiece is a lot easier than you thought. My Michelangelo book has a huge collection of beautiful pictures, but look what I found. In the back of the book, there's a lot of black and white sketches. So we decided to try to take one of these beautiful sketches and create them in the classroom. And look at the results. Not too bad, I think. We've taken some long lines and some short lines, some spiral lines, and each step we put those together and created what we came pretty close to something that looked like it could have been Michelangelo's. I also found this picture in my Michelangelo art book. It shows a lot of curved lines. So we looked at that, did a picture study, and came out with a picture that looks a little bit like that Michelangelo. Pretty good for a five-year-old, I'd say. Frederick Remington is one of my favorite artists because he creates these beautiful pictures that are from the Old West. I enjoy watching old Westerns, and so I was hoping that I could find something in here for my students to draw. When I came across this sketch and black and white picture also, this was a great practice in putting together those geometric shapes. So here's the original, and here's what we drew. I gave each student a long vertical piece of paper, and we started at the very edge, and step by step, we shape by shape, we put together to create that little Western town out on the frontier. It came pretty close to looking like Frederick's picture. Pablo Picasso is a fun artist for students to draw because there are a lot of abstract pictures. I found a couple that I thought my students would enjoy, and this one is their favorite. It's called The Rooster. And when you look at the rooster picture, you see a lot of curved and straight lines, but a lot of fun color. So there's the original, and there's one of my students. So this particular design, we used the soft pastels. They blended really easy and came up with a nice copy of the original. One of the other pictures that we found in the Picasso book was this one. This I thought would be a good lesson for all those curved lines. Look at the circles and the curves. There's a lot of different colors and some outlining, as you can see in the background. There's the original, and here's the one we did in class. This also was done with soft pastel, but also we used some markers and some oil pastels. So this was fun for the kids to draw too. They loved being able to say, "Ah, I drew a Picasso." Van Gogh is always a fun artist for the kids to draw. After you do the picture study, there's a lots of different designs and paintings that you can pick out from his collection. This is the one that I chose. It's like a still life picture, and it has flowers, and it has a lot of different color in it. Here's the original, and here's one of the pictures that one of my students painted. We used the curved line, the straight line, some of the zigzag and pointed lines, and added a bunch of different medium on that one to create the same, to try to come up with the same effect that Van Gogh did. This one was a little bit more challenging than some of the others. I know the popular one that everyone loves is Starry Night, but I decided that we would try this one, and I think they enjoyed it. We enjoyed the color and the technique. Let's talk about applying medium to your picture and choosing your color palette. When you are imitating a master's picture, what you want to do is come up with a color that's as almost as close as you can get to the original. This is one of the pictures that I chose for us to draw, and we needed to match exactly that coral color. I did that with our watercolors, and here's the original, and I want to show you one of my students' drawing. We came pretty close on that color match. And when you're choosing your colors and your medium for your picture, look at what the artist has used and come as close as you can to that imitating what they have done. This one was a lot of fun. It was a little bit more challenging. It took us several art lessons to complete, but the kids were very pleased with their results. Henry Matisse has several fun designs in this book, so there's a couple others that I've picked out of here also. This one I used as a mixed medium. We used markers, we used some watercolor, and we did some outlining. Here's the original, and here's one of our pictures, one of my students' pictures. They enjoyed doing this one with all the geometric designs, so the color was fun on this one. And my favorite Matisse of all was the picture of the woman with the hat. Now this is a really good lesson in color for your students. And the way that I taught for the students to add the color to this picture was to start at the top, and we chose one color at a time for her hat. We all picked up the red pastel and we painted with that, and we put it down, and then we added the blue, and we took one color at a time and started from top to bottom to complete this picture. This was a fun one to do. Here's the original, and here's one of my students' drawings. So there's some detail, but also just a lot of fun color in that picture. So we've had a lot of fun with the Henry Matisse art book because we have really enjoyed all of his paintings. See, so that's it. It's really not that difficult for you to teach your students how to create a masterpiece. From choosing an artist to choosing your medium. Keep it simple and just have a lot of fun. So thank you for joining me today. And before we go, I want my students this year to show you their little masterpieces. Like I said, we focused on getting the eyes, the nose, the mouth, ears.
Your curve curly lines. I have kind of a whole bunch of different names. I mean, they're names that you know, too. But you can be silly and have them draw the shape. So here's what they would say to me. First of all, Miss Thomas, like this, and I have 13 little papers up in the air, like this, like this, like this. Well, when I teach, my desk is in a U-shape, and I do walk around, and I scan, but this is their artwork, not mine. So I say, draw it like this. Draw it just like this. Let me show you one more time. Start where your dot was, and I want a curved line just like that. So another thing I'll do is I'll look, and I'll see I have my little itty-bitty drawer over here, and their line is this big. Or I've got a drawer, and they've already taken up half their paper. So I'll come back to the board, and I'll say, here's my picture that I started, because we're drawing step by step. I'll say to them, Mrs. Thomas doesn't want to see a line like this. Erase it. I want to see a line like this. And it takes practice. It's like anything else. It's like learning to read or learning your facts. These kids are learning to draw. They have never been taught step-by-step instruction on how to draw or apply medium or how to use tools. They love using artist tools, pastels. We talk about them like they are very special in my classroom because real artists use these. Every day when they come in, they have their paints, their crayons, their markers. And like I said, I do have my special set. It is just for art. It is not our everyday stuff. It is our art. And that makes it more special. And it also helps with their, we talk about craftsmanship. You know, you don't want a line like this. You don't want this. And sometimes you get scribbles. No, that's not what this artist created. This artist put hours of time and work into the picture. That's what I expect from you. And so the more you encourage your child that way, your students, you're going to get some good artwork. And again, too, the key is not rushing it. If some of those artist pictures took a long time, step by step. So do your drawings first. And then I will actually look over them. After the class is over, I will take the art pictures, and I'll go through them. And if I see two students that their eyes are way over here and their buttons are on their head or wherever, you know that it really needs some work, just take those two aside when you have some time and say, let's look at this picture again. Are those buttons supposed to be here? You know, I don't do it in front of the whole class. Just quietly correct it. And that way when you start your medium or your outlining, you all have basically the same picture and everything's in the same place. But I don't do a lot of drawing for them. Occasionally I have criers. Or I have paper pushers. They just push it off the table. You know, I'm done. I can't do it. I'll never draw this. And I'll say, you can't draw a circle? You are 6 years old. You can draw a circle. You're reading to me. I know you can draw a zigzag line. Let me show you again. It was simple. Listen, when Countess Thomas drew her zigzag line. And I draw simple zigzag. Do three little points on it. Start small, especially for those students who have never been taught to draw. It really is just like teaching them how to read or do math. They're needing to learn. But by the end of the semester, some of those teachers turned out pretty good. I really pushed us into some more challenging art.
My question was like on the self-portrait and those things. You start off with the drawing and pencil.
Yes.
How many sittings are you doing?
That's a good question. We could probably do the eyes. Now, don't forget they've already got their head. I've already given them a shape, or else, you know, you will have all different kinds of. And so, one of your goals, too, is teaching artists to end up with something that they love. They want to be very proud of what they made. They know if their project's wonderful, and of course, you're going to encourage them that, but they all know, too, what they're drawing and which one. So, on a couple of pictures, I give them a little help. But I would say I do 45 minutes of art. We would do the eyes, you know, probably just the three shapes, or one, two, three, four shapes, and quick.
Just with pencil.
Yeah. Now, Mona Brooks in her book would encourage you to do several pictures with markers. And you just draw. And you can erase. And see what they come up with. So I don't do that a lot. Because especially when they're learning to draw, they're still learning. So they want to erase, which is why they love their pink curls. And they love rulers. That one that we did with Michelangelo, which was the pillar, that was a ruler that was one of my objections. how to use rulers. Now, that was challenging because you had lines. I still draw lines. I just put the ruler sometimes. However, the paper was smaller, so the ruler was straight across, and that helped them guide. We did one line at a time. One line at a time. And then did the sides. And added some spirals. And I think there was some curved lines. Every line has a name. Every line has a name. And when they say they can't do it, it's like, well, that's just a vertical line. We talked about that. And just encouraging them in that. They will do it. They will do it. And if the more you do it, the more confident.
How often do you teach art?
We have 2 days a week. We do 2 days a week. Now, one thing I will do, and I teach, I do a morning kindergarten, and I teach all morning. If I know that we started a project, and they're excited about it, I might add in a third day to go ahead and add color or to finish a picture, especially if I'm on a time crunch. So I'll go ahead and we'll get out the colors and we'll do more. But I usually do 45 minutes. And that would not include picture. Picture study would take up one whole art time. So that's really important to do your picture study first. Because they will remember, it's a learning process. So they're going to learn, they're going to know these artists, and when they go on to the higher art classes, they'll already have a really good understanding of who they're drawing, what style the artist is. It makes for good.
I am not one who naturally appreciates art, so and I'm very nuts and bolts about things. I want to get certain things done. I have to look for another time as well. So my question for you is, what is the importance of using different mediums? Mm-hmm. What's the goal there?
Good question. If you are imitating Picasso, or you're imitating somebody, you want that picture to look as closely as it does, make it look as much as you can like the picture you see in the book, because that's the original painting. So that's what we're learning from. We're learning his technique. We've learned about him. We're trying to put all the shapes together to create that picture. The mixed medium is great. It's fun for the kids. They love doing something in tempera and going back and filling in with something else. It creates a lot of depth in your picture. You just have a really nice finished product. But you also, I think, create interest within your student in keeping that art project going. Even though if you've got a 5-week art project, you need to keep making it interesting, keep it interesting. And that's another reason why not waiting too long. It's like, oh, what did you do a week ago on this thing? You know? So keep with it until you finish it before you go on to your next project. But you just need to keep it interesting and it's best to your picture.
We have half day.
And that's good, and you've done that.
Right.
Yeah. So like the bugs and the snowmen and it all comes in.
I do step by step
going
as well. Okay. For instruction and history. But, so I just wondered, I have to be very careless about it. And I know I need to be more. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're meeting a lot of different needs for children who enjoy so much. I mean,
or
unless you do a unit on artists. But I decided that it's really a lot more fun and the level of difficulty. So really, first semester, first quarter, that's just not going to work. You're still working with your kids. You're getting to know them. You're getting to know what they can do. So I think it's easier to spread it out and then take your artists as you go. Let's spread it out. That's what I do. Free art time. Guess what? You have the medium out. You have the temper paint. You probably got colored pencils. They each have their markers and their crayons. You can go get a piece of paper. Now, what do you want to make? Picture it aside, let it dry, and let that set aside until you gather those up. But they have some free art time. I tend to stay away from cut and glue. We are using medium and we're drawing. So I love their free time if they're using what we use. So they love having a little bit of freedom. And you know what I find? They draw what we just drew. I see snowman for a week. They draw pumpkins. When we do snowflakes, we do cutting of snowflakes. They cut snowflakes every day. I have the clean people hate me. But and you know, talking about being messy, none of that has glitter. I don't show them anything with glitter. And that's not. We're learning how to draw. Fine motor skills, it's paying attention, it's learning color, technique,
and it's mentally
really 5 and 6 year olds, they do love it. They really enjoy our time. So they do.
Just to say maybe it's a lot of hours of research, where do you buy your big kits of the temper cage and your cradle cover stick?
It's called Big Click. Big Click catalog. You know, I'm sure anybody who teaches art. So I get this, they send me a catalog of 1,005 pages, and I look through there, and honestly, what I showed you, I've had several years. So if you use the temper cake, it saves me a lot of time.
Can you spell that?
It's G-I-C-B-L-I-C-K, Glick. And it's online. D-I-C-K, thank you. D-I-C-K-B-L-I-C-K. This one. It's really online, but I get by the classroom tax, and we have 2 kindergarten classes. Terry teaches in the morning with me also, so we share them, but I have taken care of them. And you saw my oil pastels, they're getting pretty. But you know what? I'll keep them aside. So sometimes, especially if we do free art, would you all like the oil pastel? Yes! Where's the oil pastel? They don't see them every day. They don't use them every day. Mm-hmm. They're low use, but I've had them for a long time. They were expensive. But I'm still using them, and I'm going to keep using them because they love them, and I just want to buy new ones until I have new ones.
Do you have any tips on keeping the watercolor cakes from getting destroyed? Because I had a lot of issues with that this year. I had a lot of students, and I tried getting enough to where I only had 2 students sharing them within a week, and they were still just falling apart. I don't know if it was brand or what.
Well, I do with my markers and my crayons, I have a set of watercolors just for art. They don't get used as much, and they're set aside from the classroom, the regular classroom pack. But you know, mine don't, as long as you use them just during your art lessons, I think you'll see that they're going to last longer.
Yeah, it's only during art.
We use Crayola.
I wonder if that's Crayola. So are you talking about the cakes?
Yeah.
Just the or regular ones that you get at Walmart.
The temper cakes.
No, she's talking about watercolors.
Them.
You mean like they crumble
and they didn't
mean
to, but yeah, like they would get gummy.
I think sometimes they press down too hard.
That was part of it as well.
I think that is part of what
I mean. I
spent
like a whole lesson on this is how we treat the paint.
Right. And that's good. And you do have to do that. I find that my circle lasts longer.
Just
doing art.
Maybe you just need to switch brands.
And then I do to keep the colors even on my tempera. The wet paper towel will keep them clean. And keep the colors. And it's so funny because I will notice after we clean them, they will be very, very particular about a dirty temper cake. They all have to be clean, and I'm like, yes, because then they do it. And then that keeps them clean, and we're not mixing colors. So that works.
I was just going to give her a tale. One of the things that I really noticed in the classroom with the cars is just stressing the difference between a tool and a toy.
Thank you.
And so when you said that about the tool, circles, erasers, all of that. These are tools for learning. Your dad does not let you go into his tool shed and get his chainsaw out because you do not know how to use that tool safely. These are tools, and we have a whole lot of, my classroom, we have sharp pointed Sharpie scissors. I mean, we use Fisker sharp scissors. The parents come in and go like, and I'm like, we spend a whole week learning how to use them safely, how to pass them safely, how to shorten them. Mm-hmm. So I think if you could just really stress the difference between this is the artist's tools and we're going to treat them with respect like you would a tool, because if you don't use it safely and then treat it like a tool, then it gets torn up or you get hurt or, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a real difference.
Hey, yeah. No, please. What I showed you in there was that color, it was a box of colored sticks. They're called Crayola color sticks. And the whole entire stick is the color. So there's no outside pencil on it. So I couldn't bring anything to show y'all. Yes. Well, that's what it is. It's a colored pencil, and we didn't even start sharpening them because that was such a distraction to me. So they color with those, but we can still do the bugs like the other things that we did with colored pencil, and they have a good color variety without sharpening. Yes, those are my colored pencils. Yes, yes, ma'am. Thank you. What do you think? You got your what?
They crumble and they
like they would get gummy.
I think sometimes they press down too hard.
That was part of it as well.
I think that is part of what
I mean, I spent
that.
Like a whole lesson on this is how we treat the paint.
Right. Right. And that's good. And you do have to do that. I find that my circle lasts longer. Just doing art.
Maybe you just need to switch.
And then I do to keep the colors, even on my temperas, a wet paper towel will keep them clean and keep the colors. And it's so funny because I will notice after we clean them, they will be very, very particular about a dirty temper day. They all have to be clean, and I'm like, yes, because then they do it. And then that keeps them clean and we're not mixing colors. So that works.
I was just going to get rid of the tails. One of the things that I really noticed in the classroom with kindergarten is just stressing the difference between a tool and a toy.
sharp scissors. The parents come in and go like, and I'm like, we spend a whole week learning how to use them safely, how to pass them safely, how to shorten them. Mm-hmm. So I think if you could just really stress the difference between this is the artist's tools and we're going to treat them with respect like you would a tool, because if you don't use it safely, we're going to treat it like a tool, then it gets torn up or you get hurt or, you know.
Yeah.
Showed you in there was that color, it was a box of colored sticks. They're called Crayola color sticks, and the whole entire stick is the color. So there's no outside pencil on it. So I couldn't bring anything to show y'all. Yes. Well, that's what it is. It's a colored pencil, and we didn't even start sharpening them because that was such a distraction to me. So they color with those, but we can still do the bugs like the other things that we did with colored pencil, and they have a good color variety without sharpening. Yes, those are my colored pencils. Yes, yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I really don't like.
What do you think? You got your what?
I said that might help.